In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
Coming together as God's family in the Word of God today, Christ is calling us to embrace the virtue of humility. So let us ponder our response to this grace, and the grace to give us to grow in every virtue, particularly the grace of humility. Where we have fallen short, we are confident of his mercy as we come before him pleading for his forgiveness.
Lord Jesus, you have shown us the way to the Father. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees. People there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you will proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position," and you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have a payment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I imagine almost all of us have heard of the Miami Dolphin coach Don Shula. One time when he was vacationing with his family in northern Maine on a rainy afternoon, they decided to go to a theater, a very small theater in the town. And as soon as they entered, the few people that were there, maybe there was only two or three, they started clapping. And he thought to himself, how do they know that, I'm up here? Do they get the dolphins on the TV or whatever? Okay, so after the movie, he went to one person there and asked how did he know him. And he said, "Well, I don't know you, but they told me that they told us at the beginning if at least four more people show up, unless four more people show up, they weren't going to show the film." So that was a nice, little humble pie for Coach Don Shula. So, as we're speaking about the Lord is inviting us to see this virtue of humility, how important it is for our spiritual life. It's called the queen of the virtues, because our life of virtue cannot really begin without this sense of humility, of being open before the Lord, really recognizing that we're totally powerless. We are in need of everything from our Lord. And each reading speaks of this. First reading is quite clear about humility, directly speaking and saying that to humble yourself, the more the greater you are. Pope Francis himself speaks about this, how important that is, even in his important role in the church. He expresses how important it is to exercise this virtue. And the most important way is, imagine, is the skill of listening, really being attentive to the people, especially in the position of leadership, that you really have to come to understand what they're going through and where they are. I remember a while ago watching a very interesting program where, like, the CEO will dress up as an ordinary person, you know, and work inside the, you know, the situation to see really what's going on, and it was very revealing and enlightening. So, you know, that's the humble aspect of humility. So that's a very important lesson. And then the second reading, you know, may not be very apparent, but, you know, speaking about the glory of God, but how Jesus entered into our world, and how the very last line is saying that Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant through the sprinkled blood, which speaks more eloquently than that Abel. The sprinkled blood, obviously, referring to his own entering into the humiliation of accepting the cross, which was the punishment for slaves. And he's willing to stoop that low to bring us to life and open the doors to life for us. Well, that is certainly the model. And then, of course, he's speaking about it directly in the gospel, about taking the lowest seat. And what's very interesting about, there's several aspects here. The gospel really, in some ways, doesn't sound like something that Jesus would, like the Jesus who had a well-known and who was well-known and looked down upon for his reputation for eating with the disreputable. So it's like, you wouldn't expect him, in a sense, to have a position of honor in any celebration because of his being associated with the sinner, which would, in some ways, make him and identify himself as one of them. So his table companions certainly wouldn't have merited, an interesting point, wouldn't have merited for Jesus say, come up higher from a leading Pharisee. So those he's associated with, they have very strict rules. So it's unlikely that even that would happen. But what we have to try to see here is that Jesus is introducing us to the radical transformation that is involved in opening our hearts to his grace. He wants to make all things new. He wants to bring the justice that we long for, where everyone is treated with justice, where there isn't this, you know, place of honor and the lowly place, where there's this great justice for all that we seek to live, you know, even in our founding principles. So Jesus is not suggesting a trick in the direction of humility to earn public esteem. He is doing what he has consistently done, teaching his disciples to be truly humble, putting aside ambition for worldly honors. So another way to look at it is, if you're going to the lowest place thinking that you're going to get a better place, guess what? It may not work out that way, you know, but what are we willing to accept for the kingdom of God? That's, you know, something of a lesson. And the other part is about the nature of the meal. This meal that is being celebrated is the Sabbath meal. So the very people Jesus says we should invite to a banquet are those who would have been excluded from the Sabbath meal, very interestingly, at this distinguished Pharisee's home, and possibly from the synagogue itself, because their social or physical condition would have labeled them as sinners. So again, he's trying to right wrong, which is the very meaning of the Sabbath. They're supposed to recall from the Sabbath celebration that they were slaves themselves. So they need to work for justice in the society and not create the barriers. So this is another very important and very beautiful aspect. There's a need for celebrating the Sabbath meal, not only celebrating God's gracious actions on their behalf, but also reminded them that they were to do to others what had been done for them, that they were freed by God, now free the enslaved, welcome the stranger, care for the children, protect the widows. Those neglected by our society not only need our material gifts, they also need the dignity that comes from being acknowledged. They need our friendship. They need our fraternity. So let's just reflect on that, on how we can be a greater part of that for our own, in our own lives, in our own society. And another aspect, Bishop Barron shared, and he had a recent visit to Manresa, where he saw the life of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And here we get a very good insight into practicing all the virtues and what he did. One of the things that he struggled with was his attraction to honor and chivalry and knighthood and all those things that were very, very attractive to him. But he recognized God calling him to himself more closely. How could he enter into it? Well, he entered into this very literally a process of humbling himself. He was in Manresa, and instead of making himself look good, he just allowed himself to enter into a humbling of becoming a vagabond, letting his hair grow long and his nails grow. I mean, you know, he just went into this experience of humiliation so that he could detach himself from his attachment to honor and making himself look good. So he entered in this process of humiliation and an extreme asceticism to deal with lust and pleasure, to withdraw from that attraction. In that, and Bishop Barron reflects, that this is the reality. If money or pleasure, power, honor stand in the way of responding to God's will, we need to practice this detachment. We need to, he gives the model of the stick. You know, if the stick is bent in one direction, what do you have to do to get it to be in the middle? You have to kind of go and force it the other way. So he had this phrase called agere contra, which means to go against. So you go strongly against and go the other way so that the stick in the end will become straight. And he says his experience was like 9 months. So he went into this extreme experience, and afterwards he was free. He was free from the attachment to anything that held him back from embracing God's will. So that's a model for us. We can reflect on how we can apply that and approach that into our, and put that into practice in our own life. And lastly, I just wanted to mention that the of course, this virtue of humility and denial of self and service for the other, very important for our family life. To really live that to its fullness, we have to exercise these virtues. And our order, we've established a foundation, St. Raymond Monatus Foundation for Freedom, Family, and Faith. Be assistance to families, especially where there's a situation of crisis. Our first mission is to offer support for people who are in a situation of separation, divorce, or remarriage, and no annulment. So we offer online support, or also children who are affected by divorce. We offer an online session for that once a month. But there's also all kinds of resources to support family life. You know, St. Raymond is the patron of family life. We know how it's so seriously affected today and falling apart before our very eyes. And integrity of family life is very important for the faith. And we were founded to protect the faith and give our lives to set people free who were in danger of giving it up. So just want to let you know, we're here for, you know, any need that's out there in family life. And you just look up our website, nonatus.org. Or you want to look up St. Raymond, Nonatus, Freedom, Family, and Faith, something like that. You can find about what we have to offer. So let's continue our prayers for growing these virtues that bring forth the joy of the kingdom and union with God, and proclaim that throughout the world.